All right, in Joshua, we'll kind of go through this together this morning, but verses 1 through 9. And so it reads a little something like this in the NLT version. It says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Would you pause and pray with me for just a moment? Father, we ask that you would not come and dwell with us, but God, continue to dwell with us, because we believe that, God, you are already here. And so, God, it's not the songs that we sung, it's not the notes that we played that bring your presence here. God, you came before we ever opened the doors this morning. But God, we are trusting that our praise and our worship, our prayer, our offering, and God, now our time of preaching is, God, but a fragrant offering of thanks for the many good things that you're doing in our midst. And so, God, continue to sit and dwell with us. God, help us to hear something, not because Pastor Joe said something great, but God, because we believe that it is you that has something to say. And so, God, help us to hear that today. God, help us to enjoy the fellowship and all the other things planned, but God, help us to sit in this moment with you for just a few minutes. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think whenever we kind of go into a text, it's always, I think, good to kind of understand the history. Like, where are we? Like, what's going on at this particular point in time and place in Scripture? And so when we pick up in Joshua 1:1, we find Joshua, who was Moses' right-hand man, and this is Pastor Joe's very abridged version. This is not, you know, deep thoughts of real historical things. This is my abridged version of where we are in this text. So Joshua has been Moses' right-hand man for something of around 12 years. And we know that Joshua has more to do with the story of the Israelites, and we see that play out in a number of places. But he was one of the spies that originally went into the land and came back, and he gave a favorable report. But as we know, the Israelites did not heed God's promise and go into the promised land. They chose to not do that, and now have spent over 40 years, or around 40 years, wandering for their disobedience. And again, Moses sent spies. Joshua came back, and only him and Caleb provided a positive report about taking the promised land and believing that God would fulfill the promise that he had given them. And so now here we are. Joshua 1:1 opens with that Moses has died. And so Moses being the last of the previous generation, and so the Israelites have wandered and now made their way on the eastern side of the promised land. And there they sit waiting for what God has for them. And so Joshua 1:1 opens with God's promise to Joshua. And so I want to unpack some things today that we find in these 9 verses that I think are important for us to see and hear as believers in light of the world that we live in today. And that's what I love about Scripture, is it is the God-ordained writing and history of God's people that, though written many years ago, is still applicable to life that we live today. And so I hope that we can draw some things from that today. The first thing that I think that we see in this passage is that our strength has to come from God. Starting in verse 8, it says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I think this is a beautiful reminder that goes back to other parts of the Old Testament as well, but a reminder that our strength comes from God. We are called to daily meditate on his word. We are called to stay rooted in him. And God's call to Joshua is to study and meditate daily so that we remain connected to the source of our strength, which is God. The NIV Study Bible has this to say. It says, our greatest asset is not our own strength, physical ability, or our own cleverness. Rather, our faith in God's ability to overcome on our behalf. Victory and strength come from faith and obedience to God's word. And it sounds like a similar thread was unpacked and talked about in Sunday school. And it's what I love about scripture is that I didn't tell anybody teaching Sunday school what I was preaching about. All I do is send Pastor Dave a verse and a heading of my sermon, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. And so it's amazing to me how all these different threads through worship, through Sunday school, through preaching, through prayer, through everything else, that God is weaving these threads together, that you must be fully reliant on me. God has to be our source. In fact, our very salvation, us saying that we want Jesus to come into our hearts, is the outward expression of God doing something in our lives. It's a humble kneeling before him to say, I need your guidance, I need your help, I need something more that this life cannot offer me. And it's us leaning on God. There was a story that I've told many times before of a missionary who was in another country, and he was trying to minister to the local people there, and there was a significant language barrier. And while he spoke some of the language, he wasn't able to fully convey what did it mean to be saved, or what did salvation look like. And so he struggled for a time and couldn't quite get the message across, and he began to become very frustrated. One day while they were sitting at a table, a young man was sitting in a chair, and he was leaning back on the two legs of the chair, and he wasn't touching anything else. He was just balancing on that. The missionary asked to explain what he was doing, and he came up with this phrase that he was putting his whole weight, he was putting everything he had on those back two legs of that chair, and had faith that those legs would not break out from under him, right? And so the missionary said, that is what salvation is. That it is us putting our full weight and leaning on to God, trusting and having faith that he will support us even when we may do some silly things like leaning back in a chair. But God has to be our source. So God steps in and becomes our lifeline. Even at the end of Joshua's life, it's interesting to see, if you look at kind of the bookends of the book of Joshua, you see this call from God to be strong and be courageous, to meditate on, to daily remember that I am your strength. And with Joshua's last breath to God's people, he says the same thing. Renew your covenant with God and rely on God wholeheartedly. And so I think it's important that in every aspect of our Christian life, that God is our source. It is by nothing that we have done to earn salvation, but it's by God's grace that he provides it to us. And so our strength comes from God. The second command, or the second part of this verse that we see, is to be courageous, be strong. And so our strength comes from God, is rooted in God. It's not by us, it's by God's power that we have the strength. And be courageous. In fact, we see this command or this call from God in this passage in speaking to Joshua. We see this three times. In verses 6, 7, and 9. And actually in verse 7 it says, be very courageous. So a little bit of an extra emphasis. And so we know that our strength comes from God, but what does it look like to be courageous? What is the Joshua or God trying to convey, and why would Joshua record this for us to read so many years later? And so I began, like most people do, and looked at a dictionary to figure out what does courageous mean. And so in our dictionary, the term courageous means not easily deterred by pain or danger, or to be brave. When you go back and you look at the original text and you look at this word courageous and you kind of unpack the different meanings and tenses and all those things, it says to be stout, to be strong, to be bold, and be alert. Courage is really that thought that, like, no matter the danger or trouble that I might come to, I will remain bold for Christ. I will stay alert and I will live out the commands that God has given me. It's interesting to me as I looked at this word courageous, and I started to kind of look and see, like, where else does this word specifically used in this context show up? And one of the ones that I came across was the story of Ruth. When you may remember that when Naomi's husband and sons both died, she's leaving Moab and going back to her home city, and she tells her daughter-in-laws to leave her and go. There's nothing that she can offer them. And Ruth turns and says to her one of probably the most notable scriptures, that I will go where you go. You know, whatever your future holds, my future holds. Whoever your God will be, my God will be. And in that phrasing, the same word here in Joshua is used to say that she had a steadfastness. She was strong. She was bold. She was alert. She knew that, you know, whatever was going to lie before them as two single women going back to a town, there could be all kinds of negative things for them. But she had the courage that despite those things, the uncertainty, that she was going to stay with Naomi and she was going to follow her God. And I think that's our call as believers. I think we talk a lot about Scripture and the promise of hard times, you know, that Scripture promises us hard times when we follow Christ. But despite those things, we are commanded to follow and keep. What is God's law? I think Jesus sums it up very well for us in Matthew 22, when he says, "Teacher," when he was asked the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied this way, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And I think this paints like the most beautiful picture of what does it truly mean to follow God. And yes, there are the rest of the Ten Commandments. There are, you know, other, you know, things that we are called in Scripture to do and to follow. But all of those laws and all of those things could be neatly placed under these two headings. And so I think that the question now is, in today's climate, in the world that we live in today, are we willing to have the courage to stand in the gap and to live this law out, to live these two things out in spite of what's going on around us? Because I think as we do, and please don't hear what I'm not saying, I think we can sit around and we do a lot of debating, right? We do a lot of humble arguing. We do a lot of, like, passionate disagreeing about who should or shouldn't be the president. We do a lot of passionate arguing and standing up for certain laws and things that should be overturned or shouldn't be overturned. We do a lot of passionate arguing and passionate expression about all these different things. But as we sit and do that, as we sit and offer all these words with sometimes little to no action behind them, there's a single mom who is struggling to find work, who finally found a job but can't afford gas to get to work and back for the next 2 weeks until she gets paid. There's a single mom who enjoys, after a long, hard day at work, to do nothing more than ride her bike with her daughter. But someone stole her bike. And because she's barely making ends meet, she can't afford to buy a new bike. And so the thing that her and her daughter enjoy the most is now taken away. There are parents who are struggling to find formula and afford formula for their children. In April of 2022, 820 children were removed from their homes and entered the foster care system in Florida. And so while we sit around and passionately argue these points amongst ourselves, there's work in our community to be done. The first two stories that I told were actually the last two care portal needs that we met. I was at work in Sarasota the other day, and I got a care portal notice saying that there was a young mom who was single who had just found a job after looking for a long time, and she couldn't afford gas for the next 2 weeks until she got paid. Once she got paid and got into a regular rotation, she was going to be fine. I looked at the location, and my new office at work is right next to the office of the person who put in this request. So I closed my computer, I got in my car, I drove to Walgreens, and I purchased a $50 gas card and a $30 McDonald's card, and I drove it to this caseworker and gave it to her. It was her first request in Care Portal, and we met it within 5 minutes. This mom has now been able to get to work and back, has now received her first paycheck, and we've prevented a child from coming into foster care for gas, for money to get to a job. The second is a single mom who lives in Northport who had her bike stolen. The need was in Care Portal, and it was in Care Portal for almost 2 weeks before I happened to see it. I talked to Pastor Ron, and he said, let me talk to the men on Saturday morning. He talked to the men on Saturday morning. Within 1 hour of their meeting being done, Bruce Johnson called me and said, I found a bike. Here's where it is. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Hopefully it's going to work out for what she needs. I reached out to the agency worker, told her that we had a bike for her. She gave us the phone number. We were able to connect them. And within less than 1 week, Bruce Johnson and Pastor Dave and Colleen took this bike to this young lady who was super appreciative of something as simple as a bike. And in the midst of all the things going on, the last thing that parents should have to worry about is access to, you know, tangible things that can help their children and their families. And there are 820 more children in the foster care system. April alone. And those numbers continue to grow. And will continue to grow now that kids are out of school and don't have access to luxuries like regular food and nurses and other things that the school system provides for them. David Platt says this in one of his books. It says, Jesus was not and is never interested in being seen as a respectable teacher. He is the sovereign Lord. He doesn't give opinions for people to consider. He gives commands for people to obey. And so the question and the charge that I have today is do we have the courage to live and aim for success based on God's standards, not the world's? Do we have the courage to say, those things that we talk about in the political realm and all these other things that try to vie for our attention, as important as they may be to certain things and aspects of life, but do I have the courage to not get caught up in all of that stuff and do a lot of this? Do I have the courage to give of myself, to give my time, to give my money, to give my talents to help people in need in our community? And the last thing that I want to see is that inherent God's call is always his promise. Whenever God calls, he equips. And whenever God promises something, he always delivers. In verse 3, we read, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land that I have given you. You have to think of their journey up until now, right? So most of the people, actually all of the people, for their life at this point, right? Because they were the second generation. The first generation has all died. So for their entire life, they've been wandering. Hearing, being taught, being told the story, like how did we get here? Why are we wandering? And I think that's an important thing to capture, is that the promise was given to the generation that came before. But God still fulfilled that promise an entire generation later. So while this generation was teaching and telling the story and training them to follow God, they did that knowing full well that they would never get the promise. And so as we sit in church as a young family with young kids, it's cool to me to watch my kids want to sit next to other people. And we want our kids to sit by us because we, you know, we want to be their parents and we want them to love us. But occasionally we get these beautiful moments where a few weeks ago, Amber was in the nursery, I believe, or homesick, one of the two. It's hard to remember sometimes because we've been sick so often. But I sat over here and I sat in a row with Sandra and Darlene. And I watched my daughter sit next to them and I watched her sing and I watched her read the words on the screen. And I watched those two look at her in awe of what she was doing. And I looked at that and said, that's the generation that's teaching my daughter. And they may never see, not to sound morbid, but they may never see the full outcome of who my daughter becomes. They may never see certain aspects and things that she does, but they're taking the time to impart their knowledge of God to my children. And so we have the promise. We know what God has promised to give us. And it's our job to teach the generation that comes behind us of that promise. Verse 9 says this, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord is with you wherever you go." If we truly set ourselves apart for God, if we die to ourselves and live for him, with the confession that we are weak and that our strength only comes from God, if we are willing to be courageous and to live against what the world expects of us, if we put our standard of success on God's timing and not on the world's, then we're truly living for God's law. We get access to the promise. It's not a far-off promise. If you think about the positioning of God's people when they get this renewed promise from him, is that they're right on the edge. And so if we simply trust God that he will meet our needs, it's just one step into the promised land. And I'll leave you with this thought that's a little challenging. It's also from David Platt in his book, Dying to the American Dream, I believe, or something along those lines. It cut off on the printer. It says, "I could not help but think that somewhere along the line that we have missed what is radical about our faith and replaced it with what is comfortable. We are settling for a Christianity that revolves around catering to ourselves, when the central message of Christianity is actually about abandoning ourselves." And so we have a bunch of opportunities to connect, to be a part of reaching our community for Christ. We have Care Portal, which allows us to meet tangible needs of young families, to prevent kids from coming into the foster care system over what I say are silly things. Not that those things are not important, but what it means to me is that if a car seat puts a child in foster care, then there's something that's not right. There are community resources and programs that we can plug our families into, like the church, that would help meet a simple need. One $75 car seat, one $50 gas card, one $30 restaurant card, bedding, sheets, beds, bunk beds, shoes, diapers, wipes, formula. Basic rights that all human beings should have that we can help connect and give to families. We also started our kids club, and so this past Wednesday we had six amazing young kids that came and hung out with us for 2 hours, and we had a puppet and we had dancing, and probably my favorite part was seeing Pastor Ron and Mel dance with the kids and having literally just a wonderful time. And I look at that and say, what a beautiful example of the generation before showing this is what it looks like to be excited for Christ. And so as we continue with Kids Club, there are opportunities for you to come and volunteer. You can come and chase my one-year-old around. That's what Diane Long did. She had the greatest time coming and chasing my one-year-old around, and she loved it, right? You can come and you can sit for story time. You can help the kids do their snack. You can help, get kids from here to the bathroom, to craft time, to all these different places. If you're a person who says, I may not be physically able to do that, it requires resources to do that. So if you have resources, then donate your resources to help do that. If you're a person who prays, we need your prayers. And in through all these things, we can die to ourselves and say that our strength comes from something that's beyond me. It comes from God. And in that, we're fulfilling the promise to the next generation that comes and teaching them what it looks like to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity, for you, God, staying and providing all these opportunities for us to reach those in our community. And so, God, would you help us to, God, put ourselves on the back burner, God, to die to ourselves, to live for you. God, would you help us to take that next step, God, to believe that even though there may be difficulties lying ahead, God, we're one step away from the promise. God, would you help us to daily meditate on your word, to daily pray to you, God, to find our strength in you, and God, to have the courage to do that. Continue to dwell with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.